What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. We got a little limitless mindset. What episode are we on? 16. We're talking about the five steps to manifesting. And today we're on step number four. We're mastering the belief breakthrough process. So I highly encourage you, this is the first time you're hearing about belief breakthrough. I think it was episode one or two, or maybe both of them, that we actually went over in detail what the belief breakthrough process was in detail. So this one gets you excited. If you want to learn more about it, episode one, episode two, the belief breakthrough process, we go in heavy detail about that. But today we're going to go into the belief breakthrough process in where it sits in this whole step of five steps to manifesting any goal that you want to achieve, right? Because the whole point is not just to have a breakthrough, but it's to have a breakthrough for a reason, for a purpose. And so before we dive into the belief breakthrough process, I do have two awesome special guests with me today. They're not really special guests, but they are guests. They are special, but together they're not special guests because they're on this every single week. With that being said, I have John Bodnar and Mr. Tim Cruz on here. So if you guys want to, go ahead and tell the people who you are, why they should listen to you, and let's go. So John, you can go first, sorry.
All right. Well, my name is John Bodnar, and I am a coach at BSB Wealthy Body Coaching. My purpose in life, the thing that I strive to do, is to show people that you can live your best life now. You can be the best version of yourself now. It's just a matter of using, gaining the skill to actually make that decision every single day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're still my friend. And Mr. Tim Cruz,
what are you, my friend? What's up, guys? Coach Tim here with BSB Wealthy Body Coaching. I am a self-proclaimed meathead who loves picking up heavy things and setting it back down over and over and over again. But my real passion and my real purpose is truly service. Like, I have a real heart for helping people manifest the strongest versions of themselves. So with that being said, the belief breakthrough process is very, very integral and paramount to that process. So I'm all about helping people break through their limiting beliefs and really just see what they're capable of.
Hell yeah. And for anybody who's other listening, like, there's nobody realer than these two guys and even myself. Like this is what we're about. We're like, when we say we actually care about this, like, this is what we live, breathe, and eat, fitness, whether it be on us, whether it be on people, whether it be in our lives, like this is all real. So excited to share some knowledge bombs with you on episode number 16. So let's dive into mastering the belief breakthrough process. So when we're trying to manifest our goals, right, we're going to be met with false limiting beliefs, which I'm sure you, I'm sure you've experienced before, whether it be you guys on this round table or the audience out there listening, like, you've been met with limiting beliefs before when you set out to achieve a big goal. Thoughts of unworthiness, right? The self-doubt, the fear, like, it's real, right? I should say it feels real, but is the question, right? So that being said, John, tell me about, know a little bit about your experience when you've been, like, how you encountered these fears and these self-doubts in the past, and how you've used the breakthrough process to curb them, for lack of a better word. Because there's no such thing as elimination. I think that's important to understand. So, John, go ahead and take it over.
Yeah, so most of my limiting beliefs that I've encountered are around things like work ethic, or worthiness, or just the desire to even succeed. Like, I've had limiting beliefs like, I don't want to succeed, things like that. And in order to get around those, or to mitigate those, subvert those, not eliminate, but pick any synonym you want. In order to do that, you have to, number one, just acknowledge that they're there, and realize that you have a choice on what you actually believe. Because By definition, a belief is something that you choose to agree with. And so if you have this belief that you're not worthy, then that is true for you. You're correct. There's a really, I don't know how old it is, but a very old phrase, like, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And this, that really bleeds well into belief breakthrough. So whether you think you're worthy or unworthy, you're right. And so acknowledging it and realizing that you do have a choice is the most powerful thing that I've been able to do, is in order to make the right choice, is accept that it is a choice.
Oh yeah. And it's funny you said that, because that quote you just quoted is the one specifically is by Henry Ford, and it's actually on my wall. I'm actually looking at it right now. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And I think it's actually a derivative of one of the old philosophers. Why am I blanking his name? Tim, you know who I'm talking about?
I don't, but are you talking like Greek
yeah, philosophy? One of the Greek philosophers. I can't remember it's not Aristotle, it's one of the other.
Epictetus, or
was Socrates. There it is, Socrates. Yeah.
It's an all-star 1 in 3 chance.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only so many Greeks, right?
All right, Tim, give me your thoughts on this.
So right off the bat, I wanted to comment on what you had said before you turned over to John, that elimination is not the goal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really easy, especially for people who, let's say, are not fitness professionals, to look at people like John, myself, Logan, as other, as like, we don't struggle. Like somehow we were born, we came out of the womb with like great bodies and like great habits, good discipline, no cravings, like no self-limiting beliefs. Like I mean, I can speak for myself the best. I struggle with them every single day, just the same way you guys do. And probably one of the biggest ones that I get is, and the more in shape, the more elevated I become in this game, the more I feel it. And that is the imposter syndrome, right? So like, I feel it too. And the imposter syndrome is simple of like, if I'm not 100% all of the time, I feel like I feel fake. I feel phony. And in the beginning, when I first started to feel that, it would almost paralyze me. Like it would stop me from being perfect. Like it would literally stop me from being perfect. And now, even though I still deal with it, probably even more so than I did back then, it almost motivates me, right? It motivates me. And I was telling you guys this morning on our daily huddle about a guy that came up to me in the gym and said, hey, like every time I see you work out, it inspires me to work harder. And so for me, like that puts a lot of pressure on me, but it's also a great responsibility. It's a great honor to live my life in such a way that without saying anything, people can look at me and be like, oh, I want to do more. I can do better. But to get back to the belief breakthrough part, I had to get to that place where it doesn't matter if I feel phony. I'm doing what's right for me on every given day, regardless if I'm successful, regardless of if I win any championships or become a professional or whatever. I love doing this and it serves me. So I'm going to continue doing it. If I'm not perfect, I'm going to do it again and I'm going to do it again. And at the end of the day, that's what matters to me, is just that development of consistency over time.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think what you said right there is really important. I'm just going to reiterate it because maybe the third person says that maybe it'll sink in, is that you're always going to have fears, you're always going to have limiting beliefs. It doesn't matter how far you get in this process, right? Like, and you're always going to have struggles. Like, and I'll use a good example is, I went and ate the same meal every single day for a year because I thought actually in my head that if I ate the same meal every single day, that I would master having cravings or master, like it'd be really easy for me to stay on plan no matter what, because I literally ate the same thing for a year. But it's not true, right? I still have cravings. I still have times where I go off track. I have times where I have the imposter syndrome that you just talked about. So if I'm not 100%, then I feel like I'm off, right? And so I think a lot of times people think that, you know, they look at someone like me or Kim or John out there and they're like, wow, like you guys just like, you're just natural. Like you don't have any cravings. You don't have any problems. You guys just look so fit all the time. And it's not true. Like if anything, like again, as you get to a higher and higher level, you just, the more you understand, the more you realize that you don't know as much as you think you know. And it's almost like the ignorance that the most people have is actually bliss. It's actually awesome because you don't understand all the things that you know that you should be doing. Once you become aware of it, you're like, oh shoot, I should probably be doing this. Or I know I need to be doing this. Mm-hmm. I know how helpful it is. I know how beneficial it is. And when you don't do it, it becomes really obvious. And so I think that piece is important to understand, that you're always gonna be met with these false limiting beliefs. You're always gonna have fears. And I actually got this from Layla. It's like the moment, and hers was a reference to business, which again, it goes hand in hand. It's like the moment you realize that there's always gonna be problems. Doesn't matter how wealthy you get. Doesn't matter how healthy you get. You're always gonna have problems. All of a sudden you can just be at peace with the problems and not have the expectation that there's not gonna be any problems. Cause I think that's what people, and I've been guilty of that myself, is that just having the expectation that there's never gonna be any problems. Like, dude, I master my health. I'm not gonna have any problems. Not true at all. And so I think that part is really freeing, just to know that you're gonna have problems. They're always gonna be there. And it's not about not having them, it's about how you handle them. It's like, okay.
And one thing on top of that, to kind of marry yours and John's opinion together, is I go to war every single day, but now I have better and bigger weapons because I've developed these tools, like with cravings, for instance. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, like the first time you go through having cravings, you don't know what to do. You're coming out with a little tiny airsoft gun. For years and years and years, I've developed a lot of tools and a lot of skills to combat those cravings or those self-limiting beliefs. They're still there. They're just as strong as they were in the beginning. I've just become stronger and have better tools and better weapons to overcome them.
What's your weapon you use now?
Mostly my left arm. You know, I would say I've developed quite a few good coping strategies for if we're just talking about cravings in general.
Yeah.
And right now my carbohydrates are incredibly low. And so I get cravings every single day. Like they're nonstop in my brain. But the two that I go to, number one, if it's just a weak craving, like something that's just occupying my mind and irritating me a little bit, I pop a piece of sugar-free mint gum. And number one, that's like a really, it makes everything taste gross, but it tricks your brain into thinking that it's doing something. Your mouth is doing something. Mm-hmm. That's for the weekends. If it's a strong one, like one that like wakes you up like bad, I'll throw on some kind of inspirational, or in my mind, it's more, I love spiritual music. So like something that really lifts my spirit up. I'll throw on my headphones and take a walk.
Nice.
I know that cravings only last about 15 to 30 minutes tops. That's all they last. So if I can get my head off of myself and onto something bigger, it's so easy to overcome. Like that's my trump card. Whenever I have a bad craving, headphones go on, I go on a 10 to 20 minute walk, they're gone. I win.
That's awesome. And just something you mentioned to me, and this is something that Katie does a lot, and I just started picking up again. I hadn't done it for a really long time, but what about the diet soda for the carbonation? What do you think about that? Yeah.
Diet 7-Up right there.
Yeah. And so I think that's another good strategy too, to get that, fill your belly up with some carbonation, get those calories, get that like sweet tasting without any calories.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of volume. Like I go with the ice drinks for like 5 calories. Yep. They're super tasty, super fizzy
too. Those have a ton of carbonation in them.
Absolutely.
But those are only so good as a momentary craving. Like I found that if you can somehow take your brain off of yourself and focus on something bigger, right? Like the best thing to do is help somebody else when you are struggling. Because then you're not thinking about your own problems. You're thinking about somebody else. And then your problems don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
I found that to be like the biggest, most powerful tool that I have.
That's awesome. All right. So now that we understand that we're always going to have limiting beliefs, we're always going to have doubts and fears, you need to have a process to be able to break through those things, right? And that's what belief breakthrough is. It's just understanding that you're going to have these doubts, you're going to have these limits that you basically put on yourself. And it's like, how do you get through that process? And it literally comes to just understanding that, number one, acknowledging these problems that you're going to have, them acknowledging them, and then going on a search and destroy mission to basically uncover these limiting beliefs of like, oh, like I'm not capable, I'm not worthy. And as you do this more and more, these limiting beliefs might seem harder and harder to find, but you can literally just ask yourself, it's like, well, why am I not happy? Right. And then all of a sudden you'll tell yourself, why are you not happy? And you're like, okay, then why is that the case? And so that's really the power of belief breakthrough is that like, you are only limited by what you think. And to me, this is like so freeing, and so like it's both scary and empowering at the same time. Is that like just by like the, like changing your thoughts? And we talk about this. We have our huddles every single day. We talk about this every single day, and like we've all had these moments where we just like change our thoughts. We just change our belief around something, and like it totally changed the lens that we see a situation through. And nothing actually happened besides we changed our beliefs, and everything else just changed around it. And that is so powerful, but also scary at the same time. So Tim, I'll let you lead on this one. Give me an example where that happened for you. You're just like, you just changed your belief. And then all of a sudden, like your life just changed because you thought differently. You decided, you chose to think differently.
It's happened so much in like the last 12 months. It's not even funny, but probably one of the most, I would call it pivotal belief breakthroughs is, so I had this self-limiting belief, and this happened through, just so you guys know, like I see a therapist once a week. And this is literally what we work on is we get deep down in, we find the limiting beliefs and we overcome them through a process called EMDR, which is very similar to the belief breakthrough process. And this one, it was so unconscious that it literally governed my life. So a little backstory, my father's a very, very successful businessman. He's also a really, really hard worker. Like he doesn't accept anything but your best. And that's how I was raised. And in one hand, that's incredibly like I'm blessed because he had this standard for me as his son, as his oldest son, that I was only your best will count. Like if I got an A minus, he'd be like, you know what? You can get 100% if you just applied yourself. Like that would be his response to me getting an A minus on some kind of test. But on the other hand, there was this like this huge burden of perfection, right? So I always had this self-limiting belief that I didn't even recognize until about September of last year that I'm not enough. No matter what I do, it's not enough. And I remember specifically the day that we were going through this process, and it popped up into my head, and it like literally brought me to tears. Like it literally, it crushed me that. And then I started seeing its fingers on every single thing, from relationships to business, to even my own personal bodybuilding journey, to everything. Like I felt like no matter what I did, it was never going to be enough. So it really, the way that it impacted, the way it manifested in my life, was I would subconsciously either sabotage or hold back my effort because I felt like it wasn't worth it. Like it didn't, if you knew you couldn't be successful no matter how hard you tried, why would you go all in? Like, why would you try everything that you could try? And the counselor, the therapist that I'm working with, instead of just telling me that this was like a limiting belief, she kind of led and guided me to this epiphany that this feeling or this thought that was so deep seated wasn't serving me. Because at the end of the day, like, I can be happy today. I can be happy right now, regardless if I accomplish anything else in my life. And when we broke through that, now we had to start instilling new beliefs. And so one of my fundamental affirmations that I write down every single day is I am worthy. I am worth health. I am worth success. I am worthy. And I say that to myself every single day. And just to bring it back to the last slide, that I'm not enough belief still crops up almost on a daily basis. But I squash that and I replace it with, no, I am worthy. I'm worth health. I am worth success. And it makes me have a different mindset when I approach work, when I approach relationships, when I approach training in the gym or eating my food. Like my effort is absolutely worth it because I am worth it. And so that's probably the most fundamental one that I've underwent in the last, well, probably my whole life, but definitely in the last 12 months.
That's amazing. I love that. That's so awesome. So awesome. John, you have one that you'd like to share as well?
Yeah, this was actually just a few days ago. So the last few weeks, I've been concerned about myself because I'm not feeling happy, not feeling accomplished, and was still doing breakthroughs, but I knew I wasn't getting into what I really needed to get into. And really what we actually determined together, Logan, was that I'm not having what I actually want in mind. And so I've created a ton of new beliefs just in the last couple of days around like what I actually visualize for my future, like really specific details, things like where I am, who I'm with, what the weather is like these things that I actually imagine for my future. And I've had impactful breakthroughs before. Same as you, Tim, that perfectionism is a killer. So things like it's never enough. I'm not enough. That's something. But what was so much more impactful about this on Monday was not only encountering limiting beliefs, but actually empowering myself to see what I truly want and give myself permission to act accordingly. And like I said at the beginning, what I primarily want to help people with is realizing that you can do this now. You can be fit now. You can live fit now. Like these are things that you can have. That was really my epiphany, is that I'm not acting as though I already have these things. So how can I expect to get the future that I want? And really, I had to be tough on myself for it, but it was freeing. And Logan, you mentioned that it's a little scary too, because like we have that responsibility, mm-hmm. but we've talked about responsibility before. And if you have a responsibility to do something, that means you have the ability to do it. And that's why it's important to like look at responsibility as a positive, because it means you have control.
Yeah. And something, because we talk a lot about law of attraction, right? And so obviously like this piece is a part of the belief breakthrough process, is being able to uncover what are these negative limiting beliefs, right? And sometimes they become so like the focus that we almost get caught up in. I'm like, I don't, you know, like I am worthy, but all of a sudden, like sometimes our brain goes back to like, I am not worthy. And all of a sudden you start to see evidence of it not being worthy as well. And so it's really important, like you said, is actually to get really clear in what you want, and having, and like more you can purify your beliefs, you can see what you want, you can purify what you actually want to go for, it becomes easier for you to actually focus on that rather than just focus on like, I am not enough, I'm not worthy, which is something that we all three very much are on the same page. We all have struggled with that in the past anyway, that same belief, right? And that's, I think it's a, like, as I work with more and more people, I start to see that it's very common, especially among people who are achievers, because by nature of achievement, once the goal is achieved, what's next, right? Which is really important. This is something I learned from Tony Robbins, is that achievement without fulfillment is the greatest failure ever, right? And so there you must find fulfillment in all achievement, because if you don't, then like all it is you're just chasing a rabbit, and then you always chase the next goal and you'll never be fulfilled by it, right? And so like I can't remember if John or Tim said now, I can't remember, but basically it's like enjoying the journey, like the process. So is Tim, it was one of your opening monologues, like you enjoy the process, you enjoy just showing up, you enjoy doing the thing. Like that's what you have to get really good at, is just enjoying the process, enjoying the thing, find fulfillment in that, and then the achievement comes with it, right? Yeah, so I think you guys said it. You guys have great stories. I think I'll leave it at that, but I think that's what it's all about. It's about basically being able to uncover these things that hold me back and literally just be like, okay, does this serve me? No. What do I want? Does this serve me? Act as if, and like choose to be happy, because all the things we want in life, like it's funny because, you know, John, all the things they wrote down, like as I saw it from a third party, it's like, dude, you can have all those things right now. Like none of those things actually you could not have at the moment. Right. But we as human beings, we're so like we can't see that. We get so like emotionally tied to all these labels and judgments we put on ourselves that we can't see how easy it is for us to change our lives. And that's the benefit of doing Belief Breakthrough. And also like piggyback that, and then Tim talks about that. I know John, you do it as well, but like getting guided breakthroughs, getting guided counseling, like, that's the benefit of that, is it allows you to step outside yourself and have somebody move you and guide you and facilitate that process as well. So it's important to build it yourself, but it's also, I believe it's also important to have somebody do it for you, not do it for you, do it with you as well. I think there's value to doing both ways. So
definitely.
Yeah. And so this, again, and this kind of goes back to that same concept of, you know, like every thought we think, every word we say, it makes an investment into what we want. That's why it's important to focus on what we do want. And we need enough breakthroughs, we create transformation. Enough transformation equals life-changing breakthroughs. Basically what we said earlier, I guess, is there anything that either one of you guys want to add to really just focusing on what you do want rather than what you don't?
So I have a little story / analogy that goes perfectly with this. It's kind of an old, I would say it's a folktale, but This son was talking to his father, and the son had two wolves. One wolf was an evil wolf. The other wolf was a good wolf. And he asked his father, which one's going to win if they fight? And the father just simply turns to him and says, son, the one that you feed the most is going to win. And what I mean by that is, if we think about belief breakthrough and limiting beliefs as two wolves that live in our brain, the one that we give the most attention to, the one that we give the most food, is going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger and eventually envelop and eat the other wolf. So I really think when we talk about every thought and every spoken word, like I'm a true believer that thoughts and words speak life. Mm-hmm. So if we think things, they are obviously in our hearts and in our head. And then when we speak them, we're literally speaking them into existence. So if we're constantly affirming those limiting beliefs, they're just going to get stronger. So I think it's very important to be mindful and present with your thoughts and catch yourself when you do think these things like, I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, any of those self-limiting beliefs. Catch yourself and literally squash them, like be violent with it, like squash it and then replace it and feed the good wolf.
That's a fire analogy. I love that. Feed the wolf, baby. Feed the wolf. Which wolf are you feeding? John, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, the spoken word part is very important to me, especially in recent months, but really my whole life. I've been particular about the words that I use, not in a snobbish way, but because I want to clearly convey not only what I want to convey, but how I want to feel about it. Because, you know, if somebody annoys me, I'm careful about any sort of criticism or just blatant like insulting, even if it's behind their back, because I know that how I say that and what I say does have an impact on how I feel about me, how I feel about my life. And the more particular you are, the more positive you are with your language as well, and the more committed language you use. So instead of saying things like try or I think I'm going to, say like I will or I won't, right? The more you do that, the more focused you can be on what you actually want, on what your beliefs should be or what you want them to be. And it gives you some clarity when the negative beliefs do come in as well, because it's like, wait a second, that doesn't fit the language that I use. So it just offers that clarity.
Yeah. I think it's important that we're also really like, we all want to have integrity, right? And so like the words we say are what basically give us they give us integrity or they take it away. So if you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, is someone going to think that you have integrity, right? But what if you're somebody who says, does always what you say, like to the T, you have integrity. But also, but that doesn't just start, it doesn't just stop with other people, because who actually cares what people think about you, but it starts with how you talk to yourself, right? And so when you're careful with the words you're saying, you're being integrous to your thoughts and your words, and then eventually your actions, right? I mean, this all kind of comes back to this idea of like cognitive dissonance, which we talked about earlier today, where we basically want to be in alignment. Like we want to be in alignment with what we want our thoughts, our words, our actions to be in alignment with each other, because if they don't, then we feel awkward. And then we got to make up stories to tell ourselves why we're not doing the things that we know we should be doing. Right. So yeah, that's the only thing I want to add to that. Tim, you have anything that I see that you want to add something.
I think that's better. Like, I think more important than what other people think about you and your integrity is what you think about yourself. Like it weakens you every single time that you're not in alignment with what you said or think. And when you're not in alignment, and I can just speak from like, let's talk about like a sales perspective, right? Mm-hmm. If you're living like an asshole, for lack of a better word, eating garbage food, not exercising regularly, not sleeping, drinking too much alcohol, and then you're trying to talk to someone about changing their life, like how authentic are you going to come across that person? How much influence are you going to have with that person? We have an innate like bullshit filter that is super, super finely tuned. So if we're like even just a little bit off, we sense that. And then we don't approach life with that same kind of conviction, that same kind of purpose. And people can tell, but more important than people is you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Dude, and so to put that into like great perspective is it was probably 3.5 years ago, I was at a place where I was not taking care of myself at all, right? I was not working out. I was eating like garbage. Wasn't drinking, but just not taking care of myself and like just making myself like giving myself the reason, the excuse that I didn't have to go to the gym. I didn't have time. I was growing my business, right? At that time, the business, I finally got some momentum. It took me 3.5 years to get this thing going. I finally got going. I was like, okay, I got to make sure I like, put all my energy into this, make sure it keeps going. And I stopped taking care of myself. And I got to a place where I was in the worst shape my entire life. And I was unhappy. Like at that time, I had the most money I ever had, most success I ever had. I had a great team at the time. Like they're great for me back then. Like compared to you guys, they were not great. But at that time, they were my greatest thing I had. To be completely honest with you, like it's, oh, this is awesome, right? But just in the worst shape physically, and I just like I hated my business. I hated myself. Like I hated everything. And on the outskirts, I should have enjoyed it all. But I was so incongruent because I was the person who was selling fitness, selling health and wellness, and I was the one who was not doing it. You know, and it became really hard for me. And that was like the start of I did a big 6-week challenge where I decided just to like say, like, I went like, I was not doing really good. And I just said, I went like all the way over the edge. I said, like, stopped. I stopped working out for like 2.5 months and I got down like 190 pounds and just was like, just soft. And then I said, I was going to gain 40 pounds in 6 weeks. And that like that moment was the kind of like the revitalization of my fitness journey. And it's when everything like skyrocketed from there, including my blood sugars, which eventually gave me diabetes, but whole nother side story. So let's talk about the master or the other benefit process, the laws that are involved, right? And the big law is law of alignment, which basically is the removal of all limiting beliefs so we can align our thoughts with the reality of our goal, right? And like we talked about earlier, like life-changing breakthrough cannot manifest in the presence of misalignment. And let's actually just stay on that one first before we move to the law of choice and accountability. So John, talk about the law of alignment and being able to basically match up your thoughts, words, actions with your goals.
So honestly, I feel that out of all the laws, the law of alignment is the one that I feel really fits into everything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, maybe the law of attraction, right? But the law of alignment is just so much like, hey, you want this, act as though you are going to get that thing in order to get it. Or you believe this now, well, prove it to yourself every single day. And I also think it's one of the laws that you can be the most harsh for, and harsh in a good way. Maybe not harsh is the right word, but the most firm with. Prove it to yourself. Prove that you actually feel this way, that you actually think this way, that you actually want this thing. And the reason this is top of mind is because I just had this breakthrough on Monday where I'm like, I want this future, but I'm not doing anything to get it right now. And so yes, in order to be aligned, you need to, you know, search out all these limiting beliefs and squash them every single day. But at the same time, like, it's, I feel it's more so on the choices that you make, which can be dictated by limiting beliefs. So of course, mm-hmm. I'll come back. But with alignment, really simply put, if you're not doing the things that you believe in or that are getting you closer to what you want, you will not be happy. And so you absolutely have to do those things to be a successful and happy and fulfilled person.
So Tim, I'm going to ask you a question based on what John just said, is, but why do you think people, they know what they need to do, why don't they do it?
I think that's going to come back to a limiting belief for the most part. Mm-hmm. Either they don't think they can do it, or they don't think they're worth doing it. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said before, if you don't think you're worthy, if you don't think you're enough, then why would you put forth the effort? Because nothing great in life, nothing meaningful in life comes without work, without sacrifice, without dedication, without consistency. So, and it's, sometimes it's painful. A lot of times it's painful. You know, it is a lot easier to just coast and not put in a concerted effort. But if you truly believe that you're worth it, you'll do the thing. And kind of the analogy or the story that I really love, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a coach, his name's John Wooden. He's a coach of UCLA, probably hailed as, if not the greatest coach of all time, one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he would always tell his athletes that, like, do everything that you know you need to do and live with the outcome. And I can speak to this personally, because if you do every single thing that you know you need to do, the result doesn't really matter. Like, you can be happy at the end of the day. I would argue that winning a game, because he coached basketball, winning a game, but you prepared, you did every single thing from, he taught them how to tie their shoes properly to, like, all the warm-up drills to the recovery techniques to the nutrition to everything. If you did all of those steps and you still ended up losing, versus the flip side of, like, you're kind of like, we all had those people that we grew up with that were just naturally talented but lazy, mm-hmm. and they would go out and win, but they were smoking, you know, cigarettes in the parking lot right before the game. They didn't practice. They were always late to practice. They just showed up and just dominated. I would argue that it's easier to lose while doing all the things that you know you need to do to prepare to win than to win hollowly just because you skated by. Like, it's more fulfilling to lose and do all the things than it is to win by not doing all the things. So he would always preach, do the things and live with the result. And that way, like what I'm doing now, I'm getting ready to compete in about 4.5 weeks, like making sure no stone is unturned. And that way I'm not thinking about what place am I going to get at the competition. Mm-hmm. All I know is I'm going to be the best version of me possible on that day. And if I win, lose, doesn't really matter. I can be happy and fulfilled through the process. So I think that goes hand in hand with literally everything that we were just talking about.
And I think the epiphany of just how you said that is, like, fulfillment is in the alignment of your actions. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's what it is. Like, it's not actually based on outcomes. It's not like, because we talked about earlier, like, it's not based on achievements, but I think fulfillment actually is based on alignment with, like, your actions, your thoughts, words, and actions are alignment with what you want in life. It's not just actions. Mm-hmm. I think that's where true fulfillment actually comes from. That was kind of what I just took from that. So
yeah, I was listening to a podcast a while ago with Grant Cardone. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Grant Cardone.
Love Grant Cardone.
But someone asked him, like, what his definition of success was. And you said the definition of success is minimizing the gap between where you are and what your potential is. And so for me, if I think back to the times in my life where I was the most dissatisfied with my life and the most unhappy, it was when I damn well knew I wasn't doing the things I should be doing or what I was capable of doing. Yeah. Like, there was some, like, misalignment with my actions and what I wanted. And I'm using air quotes there for the people that aren't watching this. I wanted to be successful. I wasn't doing all the things I needed to do to be successful. And it made me really unhappy with my life.
Awesome. Fire. Law of choice and accountability. So the very act of changing your beliefs from limiting to limitless, from disempowering to empowering beliefs, is taking accountability for our choices, right? And so, Tim, what do you see the law of choice and accountability? Like, how do you see that play its role in this belief breakthrough process?
So for one, I find it scary, because when you finally make that choice, like when we get through that process of, like, boom, I am becoming a wealthy body. Now it matters. Now you actually have spoken it into existence. Now you're accountable to it. So I find the law of choice and accountability paramount, because you have to do that first. You have to like literally commit, and then you are accountable to what you just committed to. But if you don't do that first, it's really hard to be aligned with anything if you haven't really chose to be aligned with anything, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
You know what, it's awesome, because which right there I think is more powerful than anything. That's why I'm a huge believer in, like, it doesn't matter what you do, it's how you do things, right? I believe that you can be successful. There's so many different ways to be successful. Let's use health and fitness as an example. Like, there's so many different like diet, nutrition methodologies out there. And not just like going into like what the mass market ones are, but even from like people who are really, really good, who are good nutrition coaches, like Lane Norton versus Dr. Mike Israetel, versus, Dr. John Bernardi. And there's like 1,000 more different guys. Like, those are just the big guys. There's a bunch of other guys. They all have different styles, all have different philosophies, right? And you know what? They all can freaking work. And so what those guys are doing a good job of is they just, like, people that they're working with or their followers or whoever they're influencing, that's exactly what they do. They influence them. They get them to believe in what they're doing. That's all, right? And the more you can get them to believe in what they're doing, more likely they are to just do whatever it is that they need to do in order to be successful. Like, the actual tactics of it all come down to the same thing we all know. It's just literally like, how do you, like, in a weight loss concept, it's like, how do you burn more calories than you consume at some level? There's lots of different ways to do that, right? But ultimately, you have different philosophies on how to get there. But as the person doing it, the number one thing that's important is that your belief in doing it, which basically gives you the ability to take ownership over your actions. And if we go to a second level of that, if that person can make it theirs, if they can make it, John's nutrition plan and Tim's nutrition plan instead of a keto nutrition plan or the RP diet or the precision nutrition, diet, if you can make it your plan, that's true accountability. Because now it's all of a sudden it's your plan. Like, you took the best from that. You made it your own. And now all of a sudden you have some skin in the game. Right. Now all of a sudden it's yours because you created it. And I use an example. I'm not sure if it was on this podcast or I was talking to myself, or I was talking to somebody, I don't know who, but I use an example of kids, right? It's like, when you have a kid, you take ownership over that kid. Like, when they do great things, you're like, dude, that kid's mine. Like, I taught him those things, right? I created that thing. Right. And then also vice versa. It's like, the kid's not doing good, it's like, I take responsibility. Like, I didn't do a good job parenting. But all of a sudden, if I'm looking at, let's say John has kids, and John's kids, let's just say that he's not a good kid, right? He does all these bad things. Like, I don't care. That doesn't show on me. I don't take anything from John's kid. Like, I don't have any attachment to that. So I don't care if he does good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's how a lot of people treat their nutrition plans, is that they take somebody else, they take John's kid, and they try to maybe they teach you some things, but he doesn't listen to them, but it doesn't matter because it's John's kid, right? Where if you made it your kid, you created this thing, you have more skin in the game, you have more, you're more invested, you're more prideful in it. And with the good also comes your ability to also problem solve, because as you guys know, when somebody's kid has an issue, like a big issue, let's say they have, somewhere they need a big problem solved, like, they're going to freaking figure it out because they're heavily vested. Right. The same thing comes to a plan, whether it's a nutrition plan, whether it's a wealth plan, whether it's whatever it may be. But the more you get invested in it, the more it becomes yours. The more you take 100% responsibility for it, the more likely you are to actually be able to change it and continue to grow it and evolve with it. So,
definitely been studied. I don't know. It instantly made me remember the talk that Dr. Cashy gave at the mastermind down in Austin. About the placebo effect, and they literally tested performance enhancing aids against like placebo groups, and the group that had the placebo but believed it was a performance enhancing aid, just as good, if not better, than the group that actually took the performance enhancing aid. So that just shows you like the power of buy-in. Like, when we invest, that's where our intention goes, that's where our purpose goes, that's literally where our results go.
Yeah. Actual drugs can't even overcome your mindset, basically, is what that says. Mm-hmm. Right. John, what are your thoughts on it?
A little more simple, but when it comes to choice and accountability, it truly is just recognizing that every decision you make is a choice. And in order to make the right choice, like, it's a skill. Making good decisions truly is a skill. Choosing to be happy is a skill. Possible. And so whenever you're at a crossroads, even if it's a really simple decision, like, okay, do I, like, maybe you're having a craving, do I have this spoonful of peanut butter or don't I? Like, sit down and think about it for a moment. Maybe you still have to pop some gum in or go for a walk, but at least at the very beginning, just think like, okay, like, is this going to serve me? Which decision is going to serve me better? Which one will I feel more fulfilled by? Visualize it. Think about, like, well, again, which one is actually going to serve me and help me feel fulfilled? And the reason that this is a law is because you have that ability every single decision that you make. Some decisions are no-brainers, but that doesn't mean it's an easy decision to make. So give yourself that empowerment to or the permission as well to make a choice and sit and think about it. Not just which one you pick, but why do you pick it?
Yeah. We talk about that a lot with, like, delaying that stimulus and response. So you have that stimulus where you feel like you have the craving, you have the thing that you want to give any of this negative self-talk, and instead of responding right away with it, like, do what John just said, like, sit with it, right? Do what Tim said, pop some gum and go for a walk. Like, basically just stretch that stimulus and response time. That way you can make a more informed decision. Because again, like, if you just give yourself time, most likely you're going to make more logical decision rather than emotional decision. And I think ultimately that's both what you guys were talking about, and there's different tactics, ways to do it, but time is the best way to do it. So find a way to kill some time when you to try to kill a craving. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why Dr. Cashy and Tim and John all talk about trying to delay that in some way. Walks are great ways. Dr. Cashy actually talks about taking showers as well. And then, you know, other little things that can work in moments, things like gum, things like pop, things like distracting yourself in some way, playing music, like have some sort of way to distract yourself essentially from cravings, because cravings are just psychological. They're not actually, you know, unless you're getting on stage, unless you're getting super, super lean, which most people watching this are not at that point. Like, you're actually not going to get physical cues, right? They're all going to be, for the most part, mental triggers. So,
and here's a fun little thought. That's something that I do. I love the idea of gamifying everything, right? So when you think about cravings or any kind of urges, let's say they're not cravings, even if it's like snapping back at your spouse or your girlfriend or yelling at your kids or like these innate reactions that people have. Mm-hmm. I always like to visualize myself as the master, not the slave. And if you gamify it, meaning when I feel these cravings or when I feel hypoglycemia coming on, when my blood sugar is getting too low because my carbs are so damn low, I smile and I'm like, oh, let the challenge begin. Like, I am in control. I am the master. I'm not the slave. The food is my slave. The fatigue, the tiredness, the irritability, those are my tools. I'm not their tool. And if you can just change the way you view those things, they become less of a burden and more of a challenge, or almost like a different level on a video game. And it becomes fun. And as soon as you can make something fun and make it gamified, you smile going into it, and then your success rate's going to just go through the roof.
So good. So good. Smile. Anytime you're feeling limited, just smile. Just break through it. That's all you gotta do. I love it. All right, guys. Well, hey, this was amazing, right? And so this is step 4 in the 5 steps of manifesting any goal. Next week, we'll come back with the very last one, step number 5 to manifest any goal that you want to achieve. And so if you want to learn more on Belief Breakthrough, go back to episode, I believe it's 1, 2, and 3, somewhere in there. We go into the Belief Breakthrough process. We go through the script. We go through more detail. But the Belief Breakthrough process is pivotal in order for you to get anything that you want, because ultimately the only thing that's stopping you from your goals is you and your brain and these self-imposed limits we put on ourselves. And when you're able to acknowledge them, understand them, and then be able to change them, upgrade them, all of a sudden you're aligned, your thoughts, words, actions are aligned with that goal. Boom. It's just a matter of when, not a matter of if. So appreciate you, John. Appreciate you, Tim. Thanks for hopping on here. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. And we'll be back next week with step number 5, the 5 steps to manifesting. So happy Wednesday, y'all. Talk to you guys soon.
See ya.